Hello and welcome to the fourth episode of the X Buys Cars podcast. I'm Eric Boyd, and today I bring you an interview I conducted with Dan Foley, who's executive director of the Automotive X Prize. I conducted the interview on March 21st, 2008, at the New York Auto Show. Dan and I covered a wide variety of ground, including, you know, how he thinks the Automotive X Prize is going so far, development of the rules, his favorite teams, whether major car makers are going to join New York hosting the first staged race, and Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada as a possible international stage. The Indianapolis Speedway is another possible stage. And some discussion of the media viability of super long stages, like 1,000 miles. So lots of interesting things for you to listen to today. I hope you enjoy. I'm Eric Boyd with XPRIZE Cars. I'm here with Dan Foley, who's the executive director of the Automotive XPRIZE. So first, I guess I'll ask you for your general thoughts on how is it going for the Automotive XPRIZE.
I think we're doing well, but I think we have a long distance to travel. This is a very big industry that has a long history in the United States, certainly around the world. So anything that seeks to change the fundamentals about an industry and the way people look at that industry and the products the industry produces is got a lot of history and a lot of suppositions to overcome.
Yeah, this prize is different from the other prize the X Prize Foundation has done because the industry is already multi-billion dollars, right?
That's right, yeah. That's right. And I must say that there have been some who say, gosh, you're really trying to upset the industry. We're not. What we want to do is move the industry in a different direction, and we think it's a direction that consumers want to go.
That's great. Can you talk a little bit about the long process of rule development that you guys have been following?
Well, the process of rule development is a very complex one, and the more complex the rules, the more involved the rules, the more serious I think this competition will become. The reason why the rules are complex is because we want to make sure that the outcome is precisely what we're guaranteeing, and that is something that begins the process towards a new generation of vehicles. And generation of vehicles that are not just something that we can put on the covers of magazines, but vehicles that can see the real road in a very short period of time.
That you can go to a showroom and buy.
That's right. And so we've made a number of fundamental decisions about this. And as you know, Eric, there are a lot of reasons why we want to exclude from this competition the so-called concept cars and also the high-end, very expensive vehicles that may be attractive and may actually achieve the higher fuel efficiency that we want or lower CO2 emissions, but are not practical for average consumers to buy.
Yeah, so that's why you've had this rule about the price has to be something the market is willing to bear.
Right, and actually the price point will not be something that we actually set. The price point is going to be set by the requirement that we will require of our teams a business plan that demonstrates that they can produce these vehicles in quantities of 10,000 or more per year. So the market really says that if you can produce a vehicle of 10,000 more per year, that's not a very expensive car.
Yeah, it's not a niche vehicle.
The Aston Martin, for example, is a very attractive car, but you can't produce 10,000 of those in a year, and the price point reflects that.
So can you talk a little bit about Progressive Insurance and sort of your negotiations?
Well, it's very interesting. When we were first introduced to Progressive Insurance, we immediately thought this is a natural fit. First of all, they have a very good brand. It's one that's identified with automobiles and automobile industry. Their chief concern, of course, is safety. They want people to drive safe vehicles, and that's one of our fundamental concepts, too, that these vehicles not only need to be attractive and affordable, they also need to be safe, too. So that seemed like a good fit. The more we discussed things with Progressive, we realized that this was a win-win for us, and for them, that's, of course, the cornerstone of any successful relationship.
Yeah, do you know how their CEO managed to convince his board? I mean, this is going to be you know, sort of a radical departure for their marketing department.
Well, as he describes it, and I, of course, wouldn't want to describe it for them, but the way I've heard him describe it is that this is part of advertising, and they're advertising their company, promoting their company in perhaps a different way. But as you know, just about every company in the United States today would like to be identified with something a little bit greener than they have been in the past. And if they can do that in a very legitimate way, then I think that this is a very wise use of their resources.
Can you talk a little bit about some of your favorite teams?
I really don't have any favorite teams, Eric. I must say that I'm one of these people that would like to, I'd like to see this competition play out. So I'm intrigued by some of the attractiveness that some of the teams bring to us. So, for example, I like the fact that we have a high school in this competition. I don't make any claims, nor would they, about the outcome and whether or not they'll be winning this competition. But what that says to me, it sends a very strong message that if high schools are getting involved, technical high schools like West Philly High, if they're getting involved in trying to solve this problem, and we've got, as you know, 63 other teams at this moment that have signed up to do this from 10 different countries, it says that there's an awful lot of important work that's going into making sure that we can do something about this problem of fuel efficiency as well as reducing CO2 emissions. So there are a number of other teams that are using different kinds of fuels, that have different approaches. Many of them have a good amount of funding. Some don't have their funding yet. So we can't at this point predict what the outcome would be or even who will finish in the top 20. But the exciting thing about any competition, and I'm drawn back to Lindbergh, of course, one of our favorite competitions. When people were looking at that competition in 1926 and 1927, Lindbergh's name was not on the list of favorites to win. There were better funded teams, there were much better known teams that would have been likely to finish that competition. He really was the lone eagle. He was the one who nobody knew about, but when he did win that at the age of 25, people looked at him and said, "This is truly a hero," because they did something that not only did we think man couldn't do, but certainly we didn't think that Charles Lindbergh could do this. So that's what we're looking for. Part of the excitement of that, about what we see right now, is that we don't know, and we'd like to see more. Further, I would say that although we're pleased that we have 64 teams competing right now, we'd like to see some of the big auto manufacturers get into this competition. And a number of people ask me from time to time, well, are they eligible? Well, by golly, of course they're eligible. They make cars. And anybody makes a vehicle or thinks they can make a vehicle is eligible for this competition.
Yeah, actually, one of the most popular articles on my site was the one about the major automotive manufacturers, you know, who have not yet signed up. So could you speak maybe about, you know, I know you've been in talks with them. Have they expressed some of the reasons why they haven't joined yet? And do you think they're going to join soon? Or?
Well, the good news is that we've talked to all of them. And while none have said that they will sign up yet, none have said also that they won't. So, frankly, we have not received any rejections. And I'll take a glimmer of hope from that. I will tell you this. The other thing that I have been listening for and haven't heard yet is this can't be done. None of them have had the audacity to say to us, you're asking for something that cannot be done today. So it tells me, and certainly speaking with their engineers, it tells me that they have approached this from a very cautious point of view. I don't blame them for that, by the way. I think that that's appropriate. And whether they finally get in the competition or not, I think that they would win, even if they didn't finish number one. As you know, we're looking for many winners, and we think that you can't win if you don't compete. So we'd like to see them.
Yeah, I do think, I was talking with John, and he said you're contemplating a possible manufacturer's designation that you would track separately in the race, and maybe even a prize for that, you know,
right.
The car that is going to be manufactured that does the best.
Exactly, and of course, they have advantages that others don't, and simply because they could easily put into production vehicles a lot faster than anyone else. So even if, for example, they weren't the fastest in the competition or the most fuel efficient in the competition, if they got to market first on something and it was seen that they had competed in this, I think that would give them a little bit of a public relations edge too. So we'll wait and see. We're going to keep the door open as long as we can for them and others to get in, and we hope that the additional visibility that we've gained this week at the New York Auto Show will encourage additional teams to get in too.
Yeah, let's hope. I think it would be really great to see some of them step up to the plate.
Yeah, particularly as baseball season is starting, I think we always want people to step up to the plate.
Can you talk a little bit about the alternative class and sort of, you know, the idea of tandem seats?
Yeah, you probably talked to John and Neil.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just interested in your take on it as well.
Yeah, I'm not a technician in this in our group, so I don't have a whole lot to add to what they would say. I'm excited to see, you know, what's possible there. I frankly hope that the public attention is not focused on that, though, because I think it's a good adjunct to the mainstream class. I think the alternative class, while that might be where we see the long-term innovations, it may not be the best place for us to see the immediate impact on the market.
Yeah. Okay, is there anything else you'd like to say?
I'd just like to tell you that we're going to clarify this on Monday, because you may know this, but we were very pleased to have Mayor Bloomberg here on Thursday, but he kind of flubbed his final line.
Yeah.
And his final line was, of course, that we're going to begin the stage race competition here in New York City. Mm-hmm. We think that's going to be very attractive to additional sponsors, certainly to other cities that might want to follow in the footsteps, and certainly to teams. If you know that you're competing in a competition that's going to begin in one of the largest media markets in the world, I think that that enhances the value of that competition. If you are a team or a sponsor or other cities that want to follow in the footsteps. So we're going to clarify that on Monday, and we're very pleased that Mayor Bloomberg has made that commitment to us.
Great. So he's going to come here and make another
No, release, we're working with his office now to issue a news release clarifying that. And we have had very good conversations with them on a proposed route. And they've talked to the police and the fire and all the people they need to talk to about how we would actually conduct this on a weekday in Midtown Manhattan.
Yeah. So, I mean, are you going to close the streets off? How's it going to work, right?
We will. We'll have to close the streets, and it will be quite visible, but... I imagine we'll have quite a crowd, and we hope that the crowd is pleased and not angry. So.
Okay, great. Actually, now that you bring up cities, I was talking with someone earlier who was talking about Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada as a possible city.
Yeah.
Would that be okay with you guys?
Absolutely. We'd love an international leg, and I'll tell you that the mayor's office in Seattle raised that with me.
Mm-hmm.
We talked to a number of cities that are quite interested in this. Seattle is one, and San Francisco, Denver, the Indianapolis Speedway has expressed a great deal of interest, Albuquerque, and many more. But Seattle actually asked us if we would consider doing a stage race that began in Seattle and ran to Vancouver and perhaps back.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
So we would like an international component. And that would give it, and as you know, the cities of Seattle and Vancouver work together and partner a great deal. And of course, we'll have the Olympics there in a short time to come too. So we'll look at that, or Seattle to Portland, something like that. Most of our stage race competitions we expect will begin and end in the same location. We'll have a start-finish line that will convert during the course of the competition. But just as you saw on Thursday when we did our announcement here, each of these stage races will be a major media production.
Yeah.
And we hope that also draws the media value.
Do you know how many stages there are going to be?
We don't know. I mean, we're looking for an optimum number is 10, five in the qualifying and five in the final. But we'll see how strong that interest is among the cities. And again, we've had a number of very good preliminary conversations with cities, and very some interesting inquiries too. I mentioned the Indianapolis Speedway is one.
Yeah, that'd be classic.
Because one of the things, as you know, where we want to test is not only endurance, fuel efficiency, and CO2 emissions, but we do want to test speed. And, you know, we want to make sure that the people look at these vehicles and say, I can drive that car because it can go highway speeds, and also it can exceed that when I need to in terms of acceleration. So we're very intrigued by the opportunity to do something at Indianapolis.
That would be cool.
Yeah. So we're looking for a variety. We're looking for not just 10 cities that all might look alike. We want some bigger cities like New York, Chicago, San Francisco. I like San Francisco a lot. It's very terrain. You like Seattle.
Yeah,
you like
it'd be interesting to see some of the cars go up the hills in San Francisco.
Well, and as you know, if they can't go up the hill, then you might as well be testing these vehicles in the desert, and that's not practical. If we're really going to achieve what we hope to achieve and demonstrate that these vehicles are practical and affordable and also desirable to buy, it means that they need to do all the things that cars do on the road today.
So I was talking with some of the, especially the gasoline teams. They're very interested in having a super long stage, like 1,000 miles, because they think that they'll be able to smoke the electric cars on that stage. So is there a stage that long planned?
No, our stages are probably going to be in the 30 to 200 mile range, and I understand why they like that, but just as we're not going to do a 10 mile stage to advantage the electrics, we probably will not do 1,000 miles. Frankly, the other thing that I'm very much concerned about is the media viability of these stages. Doing a stage over 1,000 miles may be attractive to the engineers, but it's not very media friendly.
Yeah, because the cars will arrive hours apart at the other end.
That's right, yeah. And you know, as you probably hear from people, anytime we talk about a cross country race, people assume that it's going to be contiguous miles across the country. I find it not very attractive to have cars going across Montana for 2 days. It just doesn't seem to be very media friendly, and that's one of the our main objectives. We want to make sure that this is media friendly.
All right, well, thank you for talking to me.
Sure.
And that was Don Foley of the Automotive XPRIZE. This has been episode 4 of the XPRIZE Cars Podcast. I am Eric Boyd. If you want to learn more about the Automotive XPRIZE or about any of the competitors, you can check out my website at xprizecars.com. Thanks for listening.